people generally do not stay in a single career throughout their adult lives. This is not your parents' or your grandparents' job market. But the second or third career can often be more satisfying than the first. So it is with Richard Manley, who we can call a playwright these days. It was not his first career, but he's certainly making the most of it. One of his plays, A Question of Words, got a public reading at the Ashland New Plays Festival a year and a half ago. Now it is about to get a full production, a world premiere, at a theater in the next town over. Camelot Theater in Talent puts A Question of Words on its stage starting this week, and Richard Manley is back in the Rogue Valley once again to talk about what's going on. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you. Good morning.
I noticed the dates on the publication or the completion of your plays. Is there anything before 2007?
No. That's about when I started. My wife and I were traveling. We had taken some time off. Both had worked very hard for most of our lives and decided to shake things up. And so we sold everything we owned, house, cars, possessions in San Francisco, and began wandering the world for a while in order to say, we need to start life again. And so shortly thereafter, I began to write.
So you really got off the day job treadmill in a very big way.
In a very big way, yeah. A scary way at times, but a very big way.
And what was the business you were in before that time?
I owned a graphic design company.
And it sounds like you're working 80 hours a week or something like that?
Yes, yeah.
And had you been writing down ideas for plays since college? Is that what I understand?
Yes. I kept saying when I left college, I'm going to do this. This is what I really want to do. I'll do this someday soon. And that was a very long time ago. But yes, I've kept journals ever since I was a kid.
There's an essay on your website about this whole process, and you describe getting into advertising and design as sort of like your fallback thing, but your fallback became your main thing for, well, several decades, it sounds like.
Right. Well, also, I wrote copy, and I would name companies and name products, and so I kept convincing myself that I was close to writing because I was writing copy, and that was a very short leap. But in reality, it was there's a very big difference between solving someone else's problems using words and expressing yourself.
So the journals and notebooks you've been keeping since college, were they fragments of scenes? Were they character descriptions? All of the above? None of the above?
It was all of the above. It was observations, primarily. I mean, the thing that I think makes a novel or a play relevant to someone who doesn't know the writer is that it sparks a memory. It's another way, so to speak, of looking at an event or considering an idea. And so I was constantly observing. That wasn't something I tried to do. It just happened. And I would write those observations down. And sometimes that would be overhearing a conversation. Sometimes it would be imagining a scene. Sometimes it would be a character trait or something that I overheard or saw.
Was there any set of things or idea that finally made you go, oh, I got to turn this into a play. This really has to be a play when I get the time. Was it along those lines?
There was some of that, sure. This morning as I was sitting in the waiting room, an idea came to me as I was reading a book that this would be an interesting direction for a comedic idea or a comedic play. And so I was jotting down, I start with the word play and then dash, and then I jot down a few ideas so that when I go through my journals, because there's so many entries, when I come across the word play, I look at that in a different way.
Tell us about the Fraud Police. I mean, once you got started putting ideas together into more linear formats, you were concerned about the Fraud Police.
Well, the Fraud Police is a term that shows up in my work occasionally. A character references it. It's a term I came up with quite a few years ago for the insecurities that we all feel. It almost seems like it's worse when you accomplish something, that your mind tells you you don't deserve that or that you'll never accomplish what you set out to do. And when you do, your mind then steps back in and said, oh, yeah, okay, but you won't accomplish the next level. And so you're pushed, so to speak, depending on how you come to terms with the Fraud Police, which are just basically insecurities, it can push you to do greater and greater things, or it can collapse you into insecurity and inaction. But I called it the Fraud Police rather than the demons. I mean, everybody's got a name for that kind of thing. Everybody feels it in one way or another. But once I began using that phrase, my friends picked it up, and then their friends picked it up, and I began to hear about the FP. And people would start referring in emails to the FP. And at first I thought, what the hell are they talking about? And then they would remind me that I gave them the phrase. I should have copyrighted it so that I can start selling it.
In a quick review of plays and awards off your website, was Matches your first completed work?
Yes.
And that's a full-length play.
Yes.
And how do you feel about that work now from the remove of 7-8 years?
Well, I like all of my work. It's interesting in that people ask for favorites, and there are favorites for certain reasons, but each of the plays, because I started so late and because I put so much of myself into the work, it was truly an expression of who I am. Each of the plays means a great deal to me for different reasons. So if I went back over certain characters, because a piece of you is in every character, if I go back over each play, I can pull out parts of it that really are meaningful for me in some way or another.
Richard Manley is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Playwright. He is the author of A Question of Words, which will premiere at the Camelot Theater and Talent later this week. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. That's around the region. Or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook. And you can see Richard's picture from the studio from just a few moments ago. Was there... Describe the process, if you would, of just getting into writing out a play for the first time. In addition, you know, going beyond just keeping notes in journals and actually sitting down and allotting the time and the space to be able to do that.
That's one of the questions that playwrights ask themselves, but are also asked often. And that is, does the story start? Does the story what kicks you off, or is it characters? And I think it's different, and the proportions are different for each playwright. I think it was Pinter who said, I put two guys in a room and see what happens. And there's an element of that as well for me. I start generally with character ideas, at least two people, and a rough idea of what I want them to talk about and where I want the play to go. And so I just literally form those two people in my mind. I see them in my mind, and I start them talking. And I see where that conversation goes. And there are times, it sounds cliched, but it's true. There are times when the character will tell me, no, I wouldn't say that. Or it'll just stop. The conversation will stop because it doesn't make sense anymore. And so it starts with characterizations, and I slowly build the story around that if the characters are working for me.
So what is the story of A Question of Words?
It's literally, it's called a romantic comedy, but I think of it as a literate romantic comedy because words play a key role. The two main characters are people who use words but in very different ways. One character is a copywriter, oddly enough. And
with a very foul mouth, I should point out, too.
Yes, that's true. And she uses words for the average individual. She's street smart. She's very smart, very intelligent, but she's street smart, and she's using language in a very simple way. The protagonist and antagonist, both at times throughout the play, is a poet who's a bit pretentious and uses words in an eloquent way, sometimes distancing himself from a lot of people because of the way he uses words. And they meet accidentally and at first are enemies because she's annoyed by his pretentiousness and intimidated by his language, and he's annoyed because she's so direct and so confrontational with her language. And slowly they begin to realize that, in essence, they're saying a lot of the same things.
And I should point out, Derby Wright is the tortured poet. He's had this loss in his life, been out of the scene for a number of years, and comes back into New York City to essentially apartment sit for a friend.
Yeah, Derby was a professor at Wellesley of literature and poetry, and he was very well thought of. He had published a book that did extremely well as a poet, his first book. And his wife, with whom he was very close, was murdered in a carjacking. And it was just so tragic to him because he was so close to her that he gave up his teaching position. And he wandered off to a little cabin in the south of France to read. And he stopped writing. He stopped communicating with almost everyone except a few very close friends and disappeared for 7 years or so. And one of his closest friends was very successful and owned a condo in New York. And in an effort to get Derby back into life, he offered him this condo, no terms, no expectations. While the guy who owned the condo was traveling, he offered Derby this for 2 or 3 months to come and see if he could work back into real life. And so Derby shows up at this condo, hoping to be left alone and to test his writing ability again. And he runs smack into a next-door neighbor who happens to be very pushy, and that's the copywriter.
He wants to be a hermit and doesn't get a chance to do so, not in the big city.
And nobody in the building, nobody on that floor will let him be a hermit because they find out that he's somewhat famous. And so they start pushing him, and tension begins right from the start.
Richard Manley, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the playwright of A Question of Words in preview this Thursday at Camelot Theater and Talent, opening on Friday. It's the world premiere. It has never been done on stage before as a complete staging. So talk about that whole process, if you would. Getting it from reading at the New Plays Festival a year and a half ago, has it changed at all since that time? And then the process of Livia Janisse picking it up for use at the Camelot.
It has changed, and it changes every time I hear it read. Readings are a part of the process, as you try to get a reading of a play done by competent actors, and after the reading you try to get a workshop, which is generally a week to 2 weeks long, where you have actors sitting around a table and a director, and you will analyze the play in much more depth. And each time you notice things about pacing, or something's not credible, or it goes on too long, and you make those changes. So after Ashland, they had very good people doing it, and I made some changes to it after that. But the core of the play remained the same. The ideas, the characters, all of that remained the same. But you'll update some of the language. Sometimes you'll tighten the language because it moved slowly, that kind of thing.
I see in my mind the roll of credits at the end of the movie, and then any resemblance of these characters to persons living or dead is purely unintentional. But, I mean, how far is this from anybody you have known?
It's not far at all. The two main characters, the copywriter is a woman who's an executive in an advertising agency, and the poet is a man who loves literature, and I am a bit of both. So part of it, since I came from the world of advertising and copywriting and moved into the world of literature, if we can consider playwriting literature, what I was trying to do is capture those opposing forces in my life by creating two separate characters who could talk about them in more depth, so to speak, and because they were always fighting each other in my own life. And so so that was there. And then Lucille, who's Mary's mother, who has this literary quarterly called A Question of Words, pulls the two people together by recognizing the strengths of each of them. And she's a very funny, very sarcastic character, who also represents a bit of me, the part of my brain that's saying, well, wait a minute, let's figure out how we put these two things together. And then we have two or three other characters that are a little more farcical, but they are based on people in my life. Nothing is autobiographical, but all of my characters have some piece of some aspect of my life.
It is fairly light and fun. There are obviously some moments of depth here that are created by the circumstance in which Derby Wright loses his wife to a carjacking murder.
Right.
Dark place to go. I mean, did you just kind of pick that one up off the headlines? Or?
Well, part of it is I don't know what I'm doing. in that I didn't come to this out of a university where I was taught structure and what have you. I think of Beckett, not that I'm comparing myself to Beckett, but that Beckett said, I don't give a damn about the rules. I just want to write down some interesting things to think about. And so this play has a bit of comedy, has a bit of farce, has a bit of heavy drama. There's some poetry in it, a little bit. And I just mixed in things that mattered to me without really knowing whether that was right or not. And it seems to have struck a chord with a lot of people.
Before you even get to a staged reading, Richard Manley, I mean, how much work do you get to get this coming out of other people's mouths? How much do you bounce it off of other people? Say, could you read this for me? Tell me what you think.
I generally don't give it to somebody to feedback one-on-one other than my wife. She's sort of an editor for me, and she'll call out things that scream for change. But other than that, I look for readings. So I submit to contests, and I submit to some theaters I know. And if I get a reading, I generally want a few people in the audience so that I can get some sense from them what's working and what's not working. And also a set of good actors. So in that case, Ashland was perfect because these were good people and it was a good-sized audience. And I take questions. I'm open to feedback at that point. So that's when it begins to morph.
Coming from advertising, you've certainly heard your words come out of other people's mouths many, many times. But
right.
What was it like to have a play come out of other people's mouths, to have actors do this for the first time? What was that feeling like?
The first time is remarkable. I've come to call it a circle. That is, you start with the playwright's words and you turn them over to the interpretation of a director, who then, to some degree, turns them over to the interpretation of actors. And then they turn them over to the interpretation of an audience. And if you're present for all of that as the writer, you see an addition by each of them, even the audience, because if you're listening to the audience, especially with a comedy, you begin to see what's working and what's not working, and sometimes it's different for each audience. But by the time that circle is completed, it is a gratifying experience when it works, because you realize that what you've said is something that strikes the chord in other people and comes back to you in often very different ways.
Well, for that reason, have you been sitting there sometimes like, oh, if only I'd done it this way instead, and I will when I rewrite this?
Yes, there are times when you think, ooh, that didn't work.
So how many of your works now have been fully staged, in addition to Question of Words, just about the world premiere?
Well, The Truth Quotient was produced in New York. There are several shorter plays that have been produced all over the United States. There's another play in Florida that was done in Florida. Life is Mostly Straws is another drama of mine that's going to be done in Florida later this year. So I'd say four, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, so far I've only written six, and four of them have been produced.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
What do you do in rehearsals when you're heading up to a full production to not step on the toes of the director?
Well, unfortunately or fortunately, you're very often not invited. So the production in New York, which was a big deal, I was invited to that. There was a long workshop, and then I was invited to the casting sessions and then invited to the rehearsals. So I had a say, but once you turn it over to the director, very often you're left out of the final. So I can make comments, and after each of the rehearsals in New York, I would submit a list of comments, and then the director would decide which ones that he felt were important. So you give up a lot of control. As a result, you have to really trust the director and the actors to interpret what you intended.
So have you seen the rehearsals for Question of Words at the Camelot Theater yet?
Nope. Tonight is I arrived on Sunday night, and I see the dress rehearsal tonight.
And then it's a preview on Thursday and open on Friday?
Yeah, I think the previews actually start Wednesday. I'm not positive. I think so. I think they're a preview Wednesday and Thursday, and then the opening is Friday night.
All right. Well, we'll certainly talk about it again in our first Friday art segment later on in the week, but Question of Words will debut at the Camelot Theater in Talent as a world premiere. Richard Manley wrote it. He's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Richard, good to see you.
Thanks very much. Enjoyed it.